Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Welcome to Spirits Podcast, episode 48, College Ghost Stories with Jeffrey Gardner.
Oh man, Amanda, this is throwing me back to some good college stories.
You know what this is, Julia? It's just good old-fashioned ghost stories. It's just three people drinking, probably a little bit too much, and telling each other ghost stories. It's a great episode.
It was awesome. Honestly, I haven't laughed so hard or had the chills as much as we did in this episode.
Exactly. You have like tears of laughter. You have goosebumps from the stories. You have like stress sweating as you're thinking through stories of children and pools and lights. And guys, there's just so much here.
There were some straight goosebumps in this episode. It's going to be good.
But first, we would love to welcome our new patrons, Elizabeth, Chrysor, Tamsin, Candace, Jordan, Emma, Jay, Addie, Ashley, and Julie.
Oh, you guys are the Victor Crum Swim Club members of our hearts.
It'll make sense later, as they always do.
They always do.
And as always, thank you to our supporting producer-level patrons, Catherine Charles, Deborah, Kimmo, MCF, Sandra Ryan, Phil Robert, Zoe Eeyore, Lindsay Sarah, Julie Dillon, Philip Chandra, DDLG, Neil, and Christina.
There's so many of you now.
I know. I wanted to do a little like iambic pentameter cadence to that, but it didn't really work.
No.
And finally, to our new legend patrons. So these folks are going to be getting an actual physical package every single month with some stuff that we are loving at the moment. Maybe we'll get some like Victor Crum Swim Club patches made up. That'll be really cool. I know you love patches.
I love patches.
Bitches love patches. But we are so stoked to be sending out patches and packages next month to Leanne, Cassie, Cammy, Shannon, Erin, and Ashley.
Actually, we already decided what our first month is going to be. And let me tell you, it is pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah. And we'll be sharing photos for all the rest of y'all to see what you are missing out on.
Yes. And it's also hell of exclusive.
It is. It is.
I'm excited for
limited run, baby.
Yeah, boy. Amanda, so I crafted the drinks this week.
Guys, don't let Julia make you drinks. Just don't. She can pour you wine. She can't make you mixed drinks.
Listen, I'm very good at mixed drinks.
I'm just saying that they're super
heavy.
Deadly. They're deadly, Julia.
They are deadly.
Like, you give me a gin and tonic, is like, oh, here's a 24-ounce goblet. Half of it is gin. Splash a tonic. Lime. Goodbye.
Actually, 3/4 of it is gin.
You're right.
The rest is tonic and lime juice.
You're right. That'd be a good like philosophical book. The rest is tonic.
The title of my memoir. Thank you for that. So we made black and golds this week.
Oh, we sure did.
Which is a drink basically that was designed to be the drink of the Ohio Derby.
I don't know how successful it was, but that's what the internet said.
But listen, it's rum and tequila and a couple of mixers, but not a lot of mixers.
Like ginger ale and grenadine, I think?
Yes,
which,
that's it.
I mean, I would drink all four of those separately, but the truth be told, y'all, it went down too easily. Ohio, what are you doing?
God
mixing
bless Ohio.
Rum and tequila. I mean, God bless you. I guess you have to drink those winters away somehow. Drink responsibly, kids. But black and golds, we are going to be including the recipe for our patrons in our enhanced show notes.
It's real good.
We hope that you've been enjoying Weekly Spirits and Creeptober. I know that we have had such a fun time doing all of this for you, and we can't wait to keep going weekly. If you like it too, it is really, really helpful for you to review the show on iTunes. We're getting close to 300, and if you just give us a nice rating, hopefully 5 stars, but whatever your heart desires, tell us a myth, give us a compliment, say stay creepy, stay cool in a comment, and that would be really, really helpful in letting new folks find the show.
Yeah, Apple Podcasts is really, really into the ratings and review system, and it's a great way of letting new people find out about spirits because we show up on the charts and stuff like that when you guys rate and review.
I just want to be number one Billboard podcast chart topping hitter Amanda McLaughlin.
Those are a lot of words that you said.
I just kept going. I shoot for the stars. And if you've already reviewed us, or if you don't have an iPhone or a computer with iTunes on it, you can tell a friend. You can tweet, use Facebook, text a friend. Just pause us right now. Pause my melodious voice. Text a friend who you think would enjoy the creepy, cool goodness that is spirits.
And we would super appreciate it.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried and true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
We really love you guys. Thank you so much. Hang on to your butts. This episode is scary.
It's real good.
And enjoy Spirits Podcast Episode 48, College Ghost Stories with Jeffrey Gardner.
Today we are joined by a very special guest, a guest we have been talking to and hopefully we're trying to get on Spirits since the beginning.
This is
Jeffrey Gardner, who is the executive producer for Our Fair City, which is an amazing audio drama. You've heard us talk about it on the show before. If you haven't gone to check it out, you should check it out now. Jeffrey, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you, man.
And I'm showing up to listen to stuff, as I always do. So what, Jeffrey, are we going to be talking about today?
We are going to be talking about the ghost stories of Gambier, Ohio.
Oh, is it a hometown stories one?
It is.
Yes.
Those are our favorites.
We love those.
So Gambier, Ohio is a town that is a very, very special place in my heart. It is the seat of Kenyon College, which is where I did my undergraduate. Nice. And then taught briefly there later, which was a very different experience.
Sure.
It sits in Knox County. There are, I think, maybe 2,500, 3,000 people in the area. 1,500 of those being students. Very, very small.
So it's like a town. Tiny, tiny Boston.
Yeah.
Tiny college town. Very good.
Yeah, no. It's a town without streetlights. There is one long block of town, a post office, a bank, a deli, and a bookstore. And that's really basically it.
And this sounds like a very efficient setup for haunting.
Yes.
Like a ghost that really wants to optimize to do some like 4-hour haunting per week. Like that's the kind of town you want to haunt because you can thoroughly terrify an entire county by just haunting the like 6 buildings and, you know, a few homes. Like that sounds like a good lazy ghost.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, the campus at its widest is a mile wide. So it is nice. Very small. It is very remote. There is, maybe a cornfield and a cow that kind of leans slightly to the left, and that's the only thing around it.
I'm sensing there's a specific cow that you're calling here.
Yeah. It is like the most haunted place I have ever had the pleasure of living. And I will say, I guess at the outset, I do not believe in ghosts, except...
Okay. That is a good prerequisite for living in a very haunted place.
No, I am absolutely sure they do not exist. It's absurd. You know, they could not exist. But boy, do I run as fast as I can at 1 a.m. when I'm turning out the lights and I'm the last in the building.
It's your hindbrain. Your hindbrain just understands. Like, as a kid, I had a set of stairs in the basement where, like, the stairs didn't have backs to them. It was like an open staircase type thing. So I saw on Scooby-Doo or something at some point, you know, the thing where, like, the monster's hand comes out to grab your ankle as you're going up the stairs. And so every, to this day, my parents sold the house that I grew up in last year, but, like, you know, until I was 25, I was like, oh boy, I am never, ever, ever not gonna run up these stairs. And actually, speaking of Scooby-Doo, if the college campus is that narrow, a ghost could really, again, effectively haunt you in hilarious circles where, like, you can fear run across a mile-wide college campus in, like, 8 minutes. Even I could fear run that long in, mm-hmm. in like, 8-9 minutes.
Sure.
So, you know, you can really just have a, like, I don't know, a, like, Boeing farce-style, like, haunting in and out of doors. That would be funny.
Fair enough.
Well, and with a population that small, you can run that whole campus at the right hour of night and not see anyone.
That is true.
And, you know, that's living in a city now, and as I'm sure you guys are in mm-hmm. New York, you know, it's a bizarre thing. I mean, we are living in cities. We're never more than, like, maybe 15 feet away from another person.
That is true.
You know, at most, so...
Yeah, sometimes as I'm coming home, I'll just, like, look, and in my field of vision, there are no people. And, like, there are people, you know, in the buildings or in the stores or something, but I'll just see no, like, human figures in my field of vision. And I'll just be like, did the zombie apocalypse happen? And I didn't realize it. Like,
the rapture happened. You weren't invited.
Just the constant. I'm not going to be invited to the rapture. Don't worry. But yeah, the just the constant presence of people is, like, something that I've come to rely on.
I actually have a great rapture story.
Go ahead. Oh my gosh, please.
So the day of, I don't remember what the date was, but when the guy said, I was like, oh, this is the day when, you know, everyone, you know,
in
the,
like,
rapture will happen.
Yeah.
So I woke up on that morning, and there, I was living in this apartment with a little park across the street, and I didn't have my glasses on yet. And I, like, leaned over and looked out my window, and I saw someone with long brown hair in a white robe walking through the park.
Oh my God, it's Jesus.
What did you think?
Yeah, I thought, well, I made several bets wrong.
I
misplayed this hand, and you know, and then I put on my glasses and I realized it was a woman wearing a big white dress. You know, kind of like an off-white beige. And I said, okay, I'm probably fine.
Speaking of ladies with long, dark hair and white dresses, what are the ghost stories that we have distracted you thus far from telling us?
As I was saying, huge number of ghosts. Stephen King, when he visited campus, wouldn't stay on campus.
Amazing. Smart.
That's how haunted it is, yeah. So the one I'm going to start off with is one of the most famous ones, and these are the ghosts of Old Kenyon. Old Kenyon is the oldest dorm on campus.
As nice. The name suggests.
Nice. Efficient.
Now I'm also going to say, I went back and forth on this, and I decided not to do any research and not to, like, refresh myself on any dates or anything, because I feel like, you know, these ghost stories were all, like, passed down to me, and I feel like that's
exactly,
the appropriate,
like,
way to
between,
share them.
Yeah, the generations.
Jeffrey, you came on the right show to do that.
You came on the right show not to have citations for your research.
So, sometime in, like, the 30s, there was this big dance with one of the local women's colleges.
Cool.
And so all of these women had come onto campus and danced. And that night in this big dorm, it's a beautiful structure with these three, what are they called? Spires.
Nice.
You'll see it a lot of the colleges, you know, logos and stuff like that. But the dorm burned. Something like 20 or 30 people were trapped on the third floor.
Yikes. That'll cause a haunting. That's a way to do it. That'll do it.
Uh-huh. And so they rebuilt this iconic dorm exactly, you know, to the specifications from the old blueprints.
Don't do that. Yeah. That's asking for a haunting.
You know what you definitely shouldn't do? Recreate the dorm where all the people died.
Uh-huh. Yeah, where they are now forevermore trapped and unable to leave because, oh no, you built their prison around them again.
And then a year or two later, people started noticing on the second floor spectral feet about a foot down walking through the halls.
And like an apparition of feet?
Yeah, just feet sticking out of the ceiling.
Because and they so built they went the back. Thing higher than they did last time.
They yes! checked the nice. Plots, and it had been built just slightly wrong.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow.
And, I love architecturally accurate ghosts.
Me too. Like, I respect a ghost that... Have you seen that video, Julia, of the, like... with a chicken where if you have the chicken in your hand and you just kind of move the body around, the head stays in the same place.
No,
like
I've never seen that video in my entire
life. I'm going to show it to you after we finish recording. But like, just it's like a gyroscopic effect where like the chicken
the steady
head will
cam
stay
chicken.
Stationary. Yeah, the steady cam, exactly, that's the one. And I love the idea that the ghosts are like geolocated themselves at not only the correct latitude longitude, but the correct like altitude. And it's just, very it's good. Great.
No, they were just sticking with what they knew. That's one of the, you know, the famous ones. And,
that's a great one.
Sorry, my kitten is trying to climb onto my microphone.
Oh my God, that's okay. Is that Sweet Pea?
It's Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet Pea, you want to say hi?
Please meow into the mic.
Oh, well, she just attacked my pop screen.
Okay. No, not okay. And you're gone now.
Cat out.
As I was saying, lots of ghosts. The only spectral experience that I had, and again, I do not believe in ghosts, but it's late at night. I am down in the basement of the Bolton Theater, which is one of the bigger ones. I've checked everyone out. I was stage managing something, and I'm the last one in the theater, so I'm locking up. I'm turning out all the lights. There is, in the costume shop, there's a big space where you can go back into costume storage that is just racks and racks and racks of clothing. Deeply
just
creepy.
Fluttering ominously in the breeze.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Awesome. So I poke my head in. I call several times. I make sure it's empty. I turn out the lights. I wait a second. Nothing. I close the door. I take a couple steps away. And there's this huge pounding on the door behind me.
Oh, shit.
That's so much worse than a voice.
Yeah. And so I booked it.
Good instinct.
And I have no idea what it was. You know, an old radiator settling or pipes or some, you know, freshman who thought that they were in trouble because they were still back there when they shouldn't have been and then ended up staying the night.
I was just going to say, that was the correct self-preservation instinct. Is like, someone's trapped in there, too late, I'm done, yep. I'm
called.
Out.
I did last call.
I'm out.
The ghost will get them and maybe give
and
me a chance
you.
To get away.
I mean, talk about horror movie logic. Like, you know, the horror movie person would hear the thing be like, Jimmy, did you get trapped in there again? Whatever. And then just like amble over and unlock the door. And then get murdered. Mm-hmm.
I'm always annoyed with horror movies where I feel like, you know, there are reasonable ways to think your way out of it. I try to never get myself into those situations because I'd hate to look back and be like, oh, could have avoided that.
You wake up and you're like, damn it, Rapture, didn't see that one coming. Could have avoided it. There were steps. There's a book. People tell me how to... Gosh, wow.
The various theater and dance buildings have several ghosts, of course.
Of course.
The
it's
dance
always the,
hall.
It's always the theater people that become ghosts.
I mean, talk right? about concentrations of feeling and ritual.
It's all about that ego. We talked about this.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Millennial ghosts and Civil War ghosts and no other ghosts.
God, millennial drama club ghosts. Are there worse ghosts, Julia, that one could be trapped with?
There is not.
As former drama kids.
We can attest.
So dramatic. No, so one of the other things Kenyon has is a really incredible swimming team. I mean, when I was there for a Div 3 school, you know, they were beating, I think, OSU and, you know, big Dang. Real schools like that. And I think there was at least like one Bulgarian Olympic swimmer on the swim team.
Victor Krum, nice.
Yeah, right?
The Victor Krum of swimming.
No, it's actual Victor Krum. It's Victor Krum where he like pulls that movie where they go back to high school Never Been Kissed?
21 Jump Street?
Never Been Kissed?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're talking about a contemporary movie. I'm talking about an 80s movie, Julie. This is very rare. anyway, but yeah, like actual Victor Crumb retired to America, picked up a new sport, changed his name, and became just a Bulgarian swimmer out of college.
That's basically how I heard it. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
No. The dance rehearsal hall at Kenyon is the old swimming pool. And if there's any bad idea, it's build a dance floor over the old abandoned pool.
That's how the ghosts keep drowning first. Over
you fill it in concrete. Julie, that was dark.
I mean, like, that's what I'm just assuming. Like, a ghost drowns, he tries to come back up, there's cement there. Sorry.
Woof.
Sorry, everyone.
Now I feel bad for the ghosts.
You should feel bad for the ghosts. They're dead.
I feel like I need to, like, start a movement to preserve original architecture. You know, think of the ghost rights.
Yeah. This is it. Ready? It's us. It's Roman Mars. And the like collection of our interests are preserving and like talking about interesting architectural things to the end of not trapping ghosts in, you know, by like rebuilding or paving over bad things. Like, imagine how many ghosts are trapped in rooms that are now just walled off. No, bad. I don't like it. Or chimney ghosts, where the fireplaces in apartments are now just all like bricked over. Sorry, chimney ghost. Bye.
Did you say Bruno Mars or Roman Mars?
Roman Mars.
Okay, because I heard Bruno Mars and I'm just like, why would Bruno Mars want to get in on this? Roman Mars makes sense.
Yeah, your surprised face seemed to me inappropriate to what I was suggesting.
Fair enough. I did hear Bruno Mars, though.
I would.
All I'm saying, crossover, Roman, we're open.
I would also listen to Bruno Mars' ghost podcast, though.
Mm-hmm. Wow, talk about a good ghost hunter. That guy'd be great.
He just like sings at walls. He's like, "There's a ghost over there."
Just him as a person. Just like his style. He has a cool crew. Like just a bunch of interesting hats, and I feel like that's important. If you're like looking around in like in a ghost hunting scenario, you want to be able to identify the silhouettes of your team members versus ghosts. And Bruno Mars has like a distinctive
the weird fedora hat situation.
No, but you see, then he's wearing kind of like slightly anachronistic hats, and that's what the ghosts are going to show up in.
Oh no, you're right.
They possess the hats.
Everyone in here is wearing a Victorian bowler hat. What are you gonna do?
You need everyone on your ghost hunting team in like baseball hats,
as contemporary as possible.
Yeah,
like snapbacks.
We'll only have the most stylish of ghost hunters with us.
My brain just went from hats to possessed hats to that new Mario game that's coming out where he can like possess people by throwing his hat at them.
I mean, that sounds interesting.
But like, think of these poor people that are being possessed by Mario's hat, and then that's what Bruno Mars happens to him.
So what we're saying is that Bruno Mars is currently possessed by the spirit of Mario.
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
No wonder he can do such like incredible jumps in his videos.
So many flips.
The flippiest.
That was a good tangent, guys. Let's get back to the ghost in the dance hall.
Right, ghost in the dance
hall. Maybe a ghost has possessed us, and we are unable to actually get to the core of these ghost stories.
So, in this dance hall, across this floor, you will, at odd hours of the night, find wet footprints going through. They put a dance floor over the swimming pool, but they left the locker rooms unchanged.
No, never do that.
That's the first thing you tear out, bros. Yeah. The showers and the locker rooms.
And so you find showers on. You find showers on at weird times. The swim team also has a tradition every year of staying all night under the dance floor in the abandoned pool.
Why didn't they fill that with concrete? Why?
It seems so wrong.
That is so scary. Isn't it like mildewy and crackling? I want some photos.
Boy, you'll have to have someone else take them because there's no way I'm going under there.
I will go into the spelunking internet and find them. I will spelunk myself some spelunking photos.
Oof. You know, there's a tangential one. And it's not really a ghost story, but it's similar, and it's exactly the kind of weird thing that grows up around this kind of town. Some number of decades ago, I think relatively recently, one of the fraternities had I said that word very weird, and I'm going to try that word again.
It's okay. I kind of liked it, and I didn't say anything about it.
Listen.
Just threw in another syllable. It's fine.
Lagunitas makes a very strong beer, all right?
Listen, they do.
Excellent. Thank you.
Brought to you by Lagunitas.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
A pub and public brewery.
No, so one of the fraternities has this, used to have this ritual where during recruitment, they would take their pledges and tie them to the train tracks that go past the campus.
Okay. So that's... we're just asking for trouble in the worst possible way.
That's literally a 1920s villain move, but go on.
Yeah.
And
if a Looney Tune would do it, don't. That's my only advice to people pledging for fraternities.
So they leave them tied there. But again, several decades ago, and the last time they did this, a train had been rerouted. And no one was told.
But like that's the kind of thing that you prepare for.
You check those train
by not
times.
Doing that.
Yeah. So one year, a young man was killed on the train tracks there, when there was a rerouted train. And now every year during recruitment, the pledges carry a coffin down the length of the campus and down to the train tracks, and it's very strange.
That's so creepy.
I mean, that seems like, on the one hand, a sort of appropriate reminder, you know, of like, but like, what are they reminding themselves of?
But
like,
I'm
the thing that they're doing?
Super sure that they're doing it like drunk and probably not respectfully because they're frats. No offense if you weren't a frat, Jeffrey.
No, I was not.
Okay, cool. We're good.
I mean,
then.
Someone listening is.
Probably.
But like, I mean, I don't know. That's just like, that's very macabre. Like, it's sort of like it's almost like celebratory of the like, bad stuff that they did during the ritual that they're currently doing, you know what I mean?
Sure. Well, or a reminder not to, you know, to be careful and to keep
not
people
to do
safe.
Dumb shit.
Yeah. I'm gonna memento
mori. Repeat, if a Looney Tune would do it, don't.
That's a good slogan. We'll put that on a t-shirt, I guess. I don't think we can because, like, you know,
Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
But I think the really the best ghost story was from this dorm called Capels. Now, Capels is a 9-story building. It is the tallest building in Knox County. So that should give you an idea of what this county is like. But I think, I want to say in the 70s, a guy comes up to his girlfriend's dorm room on the 7th floor. Depending on how you hear the story, she has either just broken up with him or she breaks up with him when he shows up there. He's very, very drunk, upset. He goes to the elevator, hits the button. It does not show up. So he wedges open the door and falls.
Yeah, not great, buddy. Not a good choice.
Not great. Now, what gets weird is what starts happening after that in that dorm.
That's what I like to hear.
And these stories were all recounted to me by one of the security officers who lived in Gambier and who would patrol the campus during the summer when no one was around and these buildings were all locked.
That's pretty legit.
Mm-hmm. That is pretty cool.
Mr. Turner.
Thank you, Mr. Turner.
He said that there was one year when they got a security call that lights were on in the building. And they're like, well, no one's been in there. They go and they look up. And on the 7th floor, one of the lights are on in a window. And they're just going all the way down. Lights on just in that row of windows going all the way to the 1st floor.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah,
like he fell.
My God.
Like he fell, Amanda.
Oh, no!
They go in. They turn off all the lights. And then the switchboard calls him back and says, something's going on in there. Because...
cut the power to the building, burn it down, never go back. Never.
On the 7th floor, there's a phone call from that room. And then from the 6th floor, 5th floor, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st.
No.
Holy shit.
I mean, that's the worst possible outcome.
It's terrifying.
Oh my God.
The people in that room on the seventh floor say that they've been paralyzed in bed a lot there, feel a presence. There have been, again, weird problems with, you know, the water running on the seventh floor when there's no one there. Yeah, it's terrifying. Oh.
Jeffrey, I do not get scared from ghost stories very often. That one just gave me goosebumps. It was so good.
It's a good one,
that
right?
That was so good. Oh. And like, and so specific to that story.
And
like, the context is what makes the, like, if you saw that happening at your college campus, be like, wow, that's a weird coincidence that the people who are awake are in a row. That's funny.
But there's also no one there because it's summertime.
There's no one there. That's creepy. But also just knowing the context of the story makes it so much more horrifying. Man. And to me, that's why I like hearing ghost stories and talking about stuff. Like, I don't particularly believe in ghosts either, but the sort of like, I don't know. My brain gloms onto stories so much. And so if you told me a story about something that happened in this apartment that I live in and anything weird happened, you know, thereafter, my like hind brain, my pattern recognizing like reptile brain will be like, well, it'll just fold it into the narrative. So I need fewer reasons to be nervous in my daily life and just having a kind of like envelope into which my brain will eagerly like remember and stuff weird things I don't particularly want to do, but it's also like thrilling to do, you know. So I love kind of hearing ghost stories, not about places that I frequent, for that reason.
Well, I think you actually hit on something really interesting there, is how these, like,
I try, man. That's my one contribution to this podcast.
Well, but how these real things become stories.
Yeah.
You know, you made the point that, you know, all ghosts are old and Victorian or, you know, from the Wild West or whatever. You know, what is the point at which a story about someone dying, you know, often really horribly, becomes something that is thrilling rather than deeply sad?
Oh, yeah. I think it's once when you have a community. So a college campus is a really good example of just ghost myth creating.
Yeah, it's like the most fertile ground possible for myth creation. It's like a watering hole of people who are there to like self-mythologize and to want to belong and to try to like become part of a community in such a short amount of time. And so that's what, I don't know if that was the point that you were trying to make, Julia, but like they are so eager to like to hear stories and to believe in tradition and to perhaps contribute to that canon.
But it's also so perfect because this is a community that's literally changing every 4 years or every year, basically.
Yeah.
So you have people
yeah.
leaving and you have people, new people coming in. So the story continues to be told in like sort of a way like, oh, you didn't hear about Ted who fell down the elevator, and that continues to like metamorphosize.
It's like
into
telephone.
An entire
like
thing.
It's yeah. in such a quick, quick turnaround, like you say. It's not, you know, your grandma, you know, her grandma told her and like, you know, oh, it's been 100 years and the story was told between two people.
No, it's quick urban legend telephone, which it's perfect for a college campus, and I love that. That's
Petri
so
dish.
Cool.
Well, and especially with the student population, you very quickly get to a point kind of where someone can become a saint, you know, where there is no one living in the place that remembers that person alive.
Yeah. Right.
And then they can be, No, it's weird. No, and so I guess, I don't know, I've been thinking a lot of that.
And especially that idea of myth creation, I don't know, really came to my mind because I went to school in the middle of New York City. Like, I don't, you know, I didn't have the building where these things happened or, you know, traditions of like, oh, that's the statue people paint, you know, and kind of cute stuff that I think of as the college experience. I did go to class every single day for 4 years in the building where the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire was, which is like a...
So how are your classes like, not haunted there?
It was like a note... I mean, it was very hot, but it,
okay.
it wasn't... but yeah, it was like a pinnacle of the labor movement in the United States where there was like a horrible fire in a shirtwaist, like a kind of, you know... manual labor factory.
Yeah. That is why I left.
People. 110 people died
in a fire.
And like, yeah, like jumping out of the wind. Like it was everything you can imagine. It's horrible. And then once every year in the springtime, you'll be like, oh, that's weird. There's chalk drawings on the sidewalk. Oh no, it's the day. And people like come and like write the names of the people that it's a lot. It's very macabre. But that was really, anyway, but that building, you know, what that event happened in like the teens or the 20s. So it's not as if we have like this long tradition of stuff. But anyway, I think especially the perspective of coming to college, at least for me, you know, I was so eager to like learn and to fit into a new community, you know, and to like carve out a place for myself and, you know, to be known by other people and to be part of their stories. And so just the idea that like something, you know, could happen and by the morning time there's like a, you know, a legend about it or lore about it. Mm-hmm. That to me is just so like, it's so sweet almost, you know, that people, I don't know, really want to belong and really want to like contribute to like the building of narrative, which is like inherently, you know, a collaborative process.
Yeah, it's sweet besides the ghost part.
Besides the death, it's very sweet.
That's Careers another podcast. Good subtitle for your podcast there.
There we go.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad we're on the same page.
Those are the good ones.
Are there dumb ones?
Yeah, tell us the dumb ones.
Oh gosh. Well, so
let's go there.
I'll tell you my school's dumb one real quick if you
please.
Want.
No, please.
So I went to a school that was like, it was probably only 100 years old. It used to be like basically parks and baseball fields, and then they built up into a college. And the main campus would have, they had tunnels because it's Boston and it gets crazy cold and it snows a lot. And so these tunnels were supposedly haunted, not for any reason, just because they were creepy and they had drafts a lot. Like there was no story that went with
it. They were underground and kind of dark.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was just like, ooh, there's ghosts in here. And you're like, I don't think so. That door locks occasionally, but other than that, like, it's really not ghosty. But that was the only Northeastern, like ghost story, which like wasn't really a story.
Hmm.
Well, so these are not dumb ghost stories, but they are. So I'm going to get a little personal here. I have a thing called hypnagogic hallucinations, which means that when it's like very slight form of narcolepsy, but it means that when waking up or kind of in the transitional periods between sleep and being awake, I hallucinate vividly.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. And they are most often deeply terrifying.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, but they were very, very frightening until I got to college and started talking about them and realized that, you know, I wasn't either, you know, there wasn't something deeply
psychosis or something, yeah.
Yeah. Or that like I hadn't figured out that there actually was a secret demonic conspiracy to take over the world and that like, you know, I each morning I was waking up being like, ah, that couldn't be real and just letting them spread further. But so my first night in the dorm, we had because we were in a dorm, duct taped a bulletin board to a wall.
Sure.
And in the night, it fell. And so it makes a loud bang. Both my roommate and I sit bolt upright, but neither of us know why we've woken up. And I look down at the end of my bed, and there's a small girl crouched in a dirty white dress with like stringy blonde hair. And she looks at me and then looks over across the room at my roommate and raises up her hand to throw a shoe that she's holding at him. And I scream at the top of my lungs, "Don't do that! That's my roommate!"
Oh, no.
And he goes,
"Oh, man.
I'm sorry, what?" And I point down to the end of my bed and there's nothing there.
Oh,
and
boy.
I look back at him. And I look at the end of my bed, and I turn over and go to sleep.
So, Jeffrey, how long did that guy stay your roommate for?
You know, actually, a
I'm
full
just
year.
Curious.
No, no.
Oh, wow, that's impressive.
Fortunately,
my roommate left after a semester, so I can't judge.
He did withdraw at the end of the year.
Okay, there you go.
but like, probably unrelated to their first night as roommates together.
Probably.
Gosh,
but
I
like
hope
that you know. on the one hand, like that area between sleep and wake, you know, even if you have a kind of more standard like sleep whatever situation, you know, you can still be unsure if you're sleeping or waking. Like,
oh,
that's real.
Sure.
People can sit
yeah.
up in the middle of the night and have full conversations with you. Like that kind of sleep shit is scary, man. Like
yeah.
that really, just because like we all think that it's normal that for a quarter of our day we just all are unconscious and that we have vivid lives when we're doing that aren't actually real and that are of our own creation. Like, just the whole, if I like take 2 seconds to think about sleep for too long, I just like freaking go there. You know what I mean?
Listen, I have straight up woken up to like convinced that someone was whispering in my ear, kill them all now. I'm like, what the fuck? It's my brain like, okay, brain, like that's where we want to go tonight? Okay.
Oh boy. But
we're
like, I mean,
it
sounds like your experience is a degree more extreme than that.
It's often very terrifying. You know, partners and roommates have gotten used to kind of being like, no, be cool, you're fine,
right?
There's nothing here. And then I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I'm just gonna go back to sleep then. But I
do you have a like touchstone style or strategy, you know what I mean, like, or like, do you have a kind of process around that? Sort of like reality checking?
Yes. Yeah. And actually often it is watching how the people around me are reacting to things and
sure.
saying, okay, are these people panicking? No. Does it make sense that there is a skeleton hanging from the ceiling?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I can probably eliminate this safely. And again, that became way easier when I kind of knew, when I got to know other people who had
yeah.
this and got to, could put a name to it. Because
absolutely,
I could say,
yeah.
okay, this is a thing I recognize. Rather than having
for
to
sure.
kind of fight that fight every night.
Yeah, and like, you know, trading strategies and all that kind of stuff. It sounds similar to sort of, you know, panic or anxiety management, you know, and kind of strategies that I used to, saying like, oh, well, you know, okay, like, let's actually try to think, you know, is this scenario likely? Or can I, in this moment, control this future that my brain is obsessed with, you know, thinking about?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But ghosts.
Yeah, but ghosts.
But ghosts. Well, and you know, I think there's probably a lot of connective tissue there, especially with weird sleep habits.
I don't
habits,
think so. They're
know.
They're really incorporeal. That's really what defines a ghost.
But
hey, that was a really yes. bad dad joke.
Yes. Managed to make the guest
joke.
Sigh in exasperation.
It's the goal every time we have a guest on
yes.
for Amanda.
I'm yeah
there. But no, actually I love metaphor and you know, symbolic linking, but yes, there is a lot there's a reason that these stories are coming up at the same time.
Yeah I don't know, have you guys ever run into a ghost in the wild?
Yes, I told this on our hometown urban legend story. But I almost, so Amanda and I did theater in high school. I started dating my current boyfriend in high school, and we were coming home late after a hell night, and we stopped the car to just like,
but the hell night was just beginning.
Yeah, the hell night was just beginning. We stopped to make out for a little bit in his car, and then like a shadow went by. I got distracted, and then I looked up, and it was like a foggy night, and I saw a figure with like a large dog standing under a spotlight. And I was like, we need to leave now because we're gonna get murdered.
Yeah, horror. We've been in some situations where like our horror movie instincts, we went against what we knew to be wrong. Like, just us together, like, it seems
yeah.
creepy, we're out of here, you know.
Yeah.
The creepy guy on the street, cross the street, like,
yeah.
you know, we're pretty good at like at a minimizing our chance of getting murdered, I guess.
I am guilty of, I get like really bad anxiety when I'm in a house alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just convinced that someone is going to break into the house and try and murder me. So I've been guilty of the hearing a hearing a noise downstairs and grabbing like a baseball bat or something and going to go check it out.
Yeah, every time someone knocks on my apartment's front door that I'm not expecting, and like I have a peephole, so on the way to the peephole when I'm looking to see who it is, I'm just like, what, is this the person that's going to try to murder me? And like I have a weight and a leather man right next to my door. I have not yet opened the door with them in hand because if I felt that bad, I wouldn't open the door. But like the other day, like a postal carrier came to my front door, and I live in like in a big apartment building, so normally they don't come to your actual door, but he was just like dropping off packages, whatever. And so I stood there for like a good like 5 seconds. I was like, dressed like a postal worker, seems like a postal worker, this would be a great way to murder me. Am I going to answer this door or not? And so
I kind of want my package though.
it happens to me. Also wasn't expecting a package. Oh, okay. So I was like, oh god, but ended up being a normal postal worker, y'all, don't worry. But yeah, it was,
didn't get murdered, not Amanda's ghost on mic right now.
I don't know, do ghosts have vocal cords?
Actually I haven't touched you yet tonight, so hold on. All right, we're good.
But no, I mean, ghost stories, I'm a pretty skeptical person. My great grandmother, so my grandma's mother, was around when I was growing up, and she was the child of German immigrants, and had talked about Krampus a little bit, and like had a little bit of kind of lore to her, and also had like the sight, you know, like with sort of like premonitory dreams. Mm-hmm.
Seeing ghosts and shit.
Not like even, yeah, like I think she'd had a couple of experiences where she was like able to kind of talk to, or had the experience of talking to people who had passed away. And my grandma occasionally had that experience, like, you know, with her own mom after she passed. But it's not a thing that we like talk about a lot, which is sort of, that's why I love those sorts of stories, because it feels embarrassing and impractical, you know? And so like, of course you don't talk about a thing that you don't think is probably normal. And so that's what makes me sort of believe in it a little bit, you know, over the like, oh man, I totally saw a ghost last night. Like that's like, okay, whatever, buddy. But that is what really gets me, is the kind of small moments where the person's like, you know, if you really want to know, and then they go into it.
I actually just thought of another one. Hold on. So my mother, when I was younger, probably like early teens, she used to like to drag me to garage sales quite a bit.
I still drag you to garage sales. Thanks, babe.
I know. Yeah. And so we went to a garage sale, and it was like a full house garage sale. It was an estate sale.
Oh no, those I don't fuck with.
Oh yeah. You don't fuck with those. But my mother was like, I need a Singer sewing machine. We're going to go and find one.
I might go in for a Singer sewing machine, but yeah. I don't want to walk into a house that was recently vacated by a spirit. Mm-hmm.
So
I just don't.
Oh, look at this gorgeous necklace. It's very old.
Yeah, look at this mysterious box that when I open it, Robin Williams comes out. Like, no, no. Jumanji? Is that right?
Yeah, but he's... Okay. All right, whatever. We're not going to go to the specifics of Jumanji. Robin Williams is not a ghost in Jumanji.
Okay, whatever.
So we're going through this house, and we walk into a bedroom, and I walk in, and it's like the middle of summer, and I immediately get cold. And I'm just like, I turn to my mom like, I do not have good vibes. And my mother's like, it's fine, there's a sewing machine over there, and just like walks straight into the room. And so we go over, we look at some stuff, and then two small children, probably like 7 or 8, walk in, and one child turns to the other child. He's like, yeah, this is where they found her. She died in here. I'm just like, Mom, we need to leave right now.
Oh no.
It was probably like someone's grandma died in that room, and then just like, yeah, the whole thing.
Oof. That's why I don't fuck with estate sales.
Yeah. I know. You probably shouldn't do that ever. Estate sales are fucked up.
My sister had epilepsy when she was little and grew out of it, which was great, and I'm glad. But she would often have these little like micro seizures, where instead of like a seizure as you think about it on TV, mm-hmm. It's just more looks like you're spacing out. And so for a toddler to be in the middle of talking to you and then just eyes glaze, like that kind of experience was like terrifying, because mm-hmm. it was like a medical event that I had to like be aware of as her caretaker. But also I was like, what is she noticing that I'm not noticing? Like it was always like is there something here?
My assumption would be, oh, she's possessed now,
right? Or like that moment where you're talking to somebody and then their eyes like go over your shoulder and like their face drops because they like see an X or they see something weird, you
or
know?
Like when cats just stare into the corner of rooms, you're like, what are you seeing there, cat?
Cat, what do you know that I don't? What divide divine portents are you sensing?
We have a friend who has trained their dog when given the command Blair Witch to go and stare.
Oh, no!
We'll go and stare in a corner.
That's so fucked up.
That's super fucked up.
Blair Witch holds a special place in my heart because my boyfriend Jake is a very big horror fan, and I was not until we started dating, and Blair Witch was the first movie that he sat me down. He's like, you're going to like this. Just sit down and watch this horror movie. And
was
it scared
right?
the shit out of me. Yeah, I loved it. It just scared the shit out of me because I kept expecting something to happen, and then nothing happens until the end of the movie, and it's just like terrifying. The suspense always kills me.
Yeah.
I have to watch that sometime, don't I?
Oh, yeah, you do.
As a kid, the first time I saw The Exorcist at, slightly too young, I came home and my sister, my little sister who was 4 years younger and who was at that time this very small, blonde, young child, got really sick was thrashing around and rolling in her bed all night down the hall, and I heard it all night, and I'm lying there like, this is
just
how
like
I go.
Covers up to your nose like, this is it. It's been a good
my
ride.
My sister is possessed and she's going to murder me.
This is how this ends.
Yeah, she crawls around along the ceiling. I'm running.
Well, we all survived, which is great.
We did.
Yeah.
No, none of us died too young.
Mm-hmm. Too young?
I say like I died like... listen, I've been a ghost this whole time.
I guess people listening to this in 2080 could be like, well, yeah, they did have a pretty good run. One of them died at 29. That sucked. You're like, oh, no, please don't.
Don't jinx us like that.
Oh, no. Oh, this is a cursed episode.
This is a cursed episode now.
That would be a pretty good episode title.
And I mean, I think tying it back together, I think the best part about that is it's because every community has these small urban legends and small, like, ghost stories that they're able to create this sort of universal genre of the small town ghost story.
Yeah, sure. It's awesome. Great. It's like a small town diner. Like, I will eat at any small town diner, and it tells me so much about the town. You know what I mean?
And the ghost stories tell a lot about the town, too.
They do. We should go on a tour of eating at diners listening to ghost stories from people who live there.
That would be great.
That would be amazing.
New podcast coming 2019.
Get at us. 2019, we can pull that together by the end of 2018.
We probably could
do
it.
That, yeah.
If we wanted to.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for coming on to our show.
I really
appreciate you sharing these stories with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And do you want to plug anything before we go?
Like you folks said at the beginning, I am the executive producer of another podcast called Our Fair City, which is an audio drama show that is currently in its eighth and final season. So find us on iTunes or on social media under Our Fair City. There's also a great band that you'll find on social media called Our Fair City, and follow them too, but don't follow them instead of us. They're kind of a 90s grunge, you know?
Nice.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Awesome. I love that you're embracing the, colleagues and non-competition angle. Like, weird cross-pollination, but I'll take it, bro.
So yeah, we'll be... very interesting to spirits listeners because it is about mythology and the supernatural in the Midwest. So keep your ears peeled for that.
We like that.
So into it. You said ghost and Ohio at the top of the episode, and I said, well, I'm in. I'm fully in.
You sold us on these things.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. And remember, listeners,
stay creepy.
Stay cool. Spirits was created by Amanda McLaughlin, Julia Schaffini, and Eric Schneider, with music by Kevin McLeod and visual design by Allison Wakeman.
Keep up with all things creepy and cool by following us on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram at Spirits Podcast. We also have all our episodes, collaborations, and guest appearances, plus merch, on our website, spiritspodcast.com.
Come on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/spiritspodcast, for all kinds of behind-the-scenes stuff. Throw us as little as $1 and get access to audio extras, recipe cards, director's commentaries, and patron-only live streams.
And hey, if you like the show, please share us with your friends. That is the best way to help us keep on growing.
Thank you so much for listening. Till next time.